Aaron Murphy, kind enough to join us right now. Democrat of the day, Senate District 64, the former representative looking to head back to St. Paul, representing as a senator. And dear Lord, do we need her in this day and age. Aaron, thank you much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me. And, you know, bright sunshine is a pretty great thing to say. So I'm excited to join you and bring whatever brightness I can to your day.
Well, you've always been one of the more, you are, and I'll say this, I have no problem gushing. You are one of the more exceptional politicians I've ever met in my life. You are truly a person that cares about your community. You don't care only about Democrats. You care about everyone that's in your community. You have a big heart and compassion. You know your issues. And I'll tell you, it's easy to follow you. It's easy to be a supporter of you because you're just that good of a politician and a person that I'm just proud to be able to have you on the show every once in a while.
I'm happy to join you anytime, and thank you for those kind words. You know, I did serve 12 years in the Minnesota House and spent a lot of time all over the state of Minnesota, and spending time with Minnesotans has made me very clear about my next chapter, and I really am devoted to the people of Minnesota. I got into politics because I really care a lot about people, just like I got into nursing because I care a lot about people. And we have some tough issues in front of us, and I know that together we have both the capacity and the will to solve those tough problems, and I'd like to be a part of that with the people of Minnesota.
Were you anticipating running? I mean, you came out of the Minnesota House. You weren't in office for a while. Were you anticipating running this soon, or did you want to just kind of evaluate your options? Because obviously Senate District 64 is a fine fit for you.
I came out of the race for governor really transformed, and it took a little while, of course, to, you know, get my feet about me again and heal up a little bit, because it's never easy to lose a race. It was the first big loss that I've experienced, and it comes with the grief of a real loss. So I needed to, you know, kind of get my head wrapped around that experience and understand its meaning. And I didn't know what I wanted to do, but it didn't take me very long to say out loud, I don't think I am done with public service if Minnesotans are willing to have me. And I didn't think that running for the Minnesota Senate would be the place that I would go, but I am really committed to organizing, to building our power and support for the kind of change I believe is possible here in the state of Minnesota. And so, after a lot of thought and some sleep, and good counsel from the people around me, I did make the decision to get into this race. And I'm really happy I did, because I am sure you're thinking about this, but we're living in a very compelling time. One that, keeps me up at night when I think about the threat to our democratic institutions. And one that gives me comfort because I know what we're capable of. And I know I have a really clear perspective on the goodness of people across the state of Minnesota. And when we bring those voices to bear on our work, we can make real progress. And that's the part I want to do.
There is, and just in the last, 4 or 5 days, there's just this real unsettled nature. I mean, on one side of it, we all are aghast. You hear that a large portion of the Republican Party's senior leadership was exposed to coronavirus. And then you hear turnarounds of, people jumping on Delta flights and still saying don't wear face masks. And Pete Stauber's out there campaigning, even though he's supposed to be in quarantine. The misinformation of, I took a test and 3 days later I'm fine, I can go back, which is not true. You're still supposed to be quarantined for 14 days. You know, there is just this, I want to feel sorry for these guys. And I want to, this is a real, a moment within history, within the state. And then in turn, they almost, it's like the goodwill that is generated by people like myself saying, I hope all the Republicans survive this, especially Jim Hagedorn. I'm very concerned about him. But I'm there. Then they come on out and they're back with their misinformation. They're back with their flying on Delta on a regular airline. And, you kind of just shake your head. These are odd times indeed.
When you have the privilege of representing Minnesotans in elected office, it really is for me, it's a sacred privilege. It is, and how we conduct ourselves in respect to that privilege tells us a lot about who we are. I don't know why a political party has decided that it is advantageous to talk about COVID like it is not real. I don't know who that helps, but, you know, I'm a nurse. I understand how infectious disease happens. This virus is looking for its next host, which is another human. And so whenever we see, like we saw last week in the Rose Garden and then inside the White House, a significant gathering of people who are close together without masks on, you know that despite the fact that they took temperatures or did rapid tests, that asymptomatic spread is a critical part of this condition. And until we recognize that and act accordingly, COVID will continue to spread. 210,000 Americans have died. More than 7 million people are infected. I don't understand how it is advantageous for a political party to deny that. Mm-hmm. And to see them get onto a plane and allow, and Delta, of all airlines, to allow that, mm-hmm. I think is a travesty. I think the response nationally to COVID is a failure. It's a national disgrace. And we're paying a significant price for it.
It is the outcome of vilifying science for 20 years. And you get to this point and the science is telling you this is what you need to do to survive. And people either think they can negotiate with the virus or that their political party makes them immune to a virus or just the virus doesn't exist. And, you know, this is the reason why. I mean, we absolutely have to, in the state of Minnesota, get that Senate into the Democrats' hands because – quite literally, we can't trust these people. You know, as I said, I wouldn't trust these people to put syrup on pancakes at this point, let alone deal with a pandemic. And I think that we have to have people that understand science and medicine. They need to take the lead on this, and you follow their recommendations for the betterment of all of us.
For all of us. Yeah. That's right.
Once again, and you just heard, you know, Aaron Murphy, once again, the nursing background will come in handy, especially on some of these committees where we've been running into roadblocks here. When you jump from the House to the Senate, what are kind of from your perspective, what's the difference there? How is the challenge different for you between the House of Representatives and the Senate?
So I'll be new to the Senate, and it is a new body, and I'm going into that, knock on wood, I'm elected on November 3rd, and we're in a really good position. So I believe I'm going to be successful at the election. I think about coming into a new body, and I am curious, and I'm a very good student. And so I've already been talking with some of what I hope will be my future colleagues to understand the difference between the House and the Senate. It's obviously a body that is half the size, which I think increases the importance of relationships and relationship building with the other 66 people who work and represent Minnesotans' interests. But beyond that, I feel really clear that my job is to represent Minnesotans and that as much of the work that happens inside the Capitol is about our future. More of what's possible happens when we work outside the Capitol. That's where the change actually happens. Mm-hmm. And so I believe it's really important to bring the organizer in me to the work that I'm going to do when elected to the Minnesota Senate and stay in deep contact and deep relationship with the people of Minnesota. And the virus for me has been an isolator. It makes me lonely. We usually are door knocking like crazy at this point in a campaign, and I'm spending most of my time in Zoom meetings and on the telephone, and I have really missed seeing people. And I look forward to the day when we are vaccinated and able to gather again, because there are a lot of people across the state who I haven't seen for a while. I know that our future rests in the voices of the people of Minnesota. I care about everybody across the state, and I can't wait to get back to work for them.
I'm as tough as that is, and I know you are one of these advocates for door knocking. We talked about that back in 2018. The door knocking is the key to winning in 2016 as well. But one of the things which is amazing is that I understand it's hard, but I'm glad you're not door knocking. There are some stories I'm seeing of Republicans showing up at people's houses, no mask on, door knocking like there's not a pandemic going on. The reality is that as tough as it is, I think people understand that. It also is interesting as far as a campaign goes, especially for 64, which we should mention is pretty much the western side of St. Paul. Highland Tangletown runs up north of 94 there, and I think Pike Island is even in that district as well. It's and so it is the west side of St. Paul. obviously, early balloting has been a key here. We've talked to Steve Simon, the Secretary of State. A lot of absentee ballots, well over a million now requested. You can talk about changing that element of the campaign. Is that you're not just looking for people on November 3rd, vote for me. It's starting with the early voting for the next month. When you do get your ballot, however you do get it, members to vote for me. Talk about that challenge.
So the stay-at-home order came very, mid-March, I think.
Yes.
In this campaign, we very early started talking about the opportunity to vote by mail, starting right in 64, and we have just continued to press, urging people to cast their ballot safely, casting them as soon as they can. And especially now, as this president and the administration are using their powerful voices to try and discredit mail balloting, which of course has been happening in parts of Minnesota for years. Mm-hmm. In some communities, that's all they do is vote by mail. We think it is important and have really been pushing people to vote as soon as possible. I voted in the general election on the first day that we were able to. I went and voted at Ramsey County in person with my mask on because I couldn't wait. But in whatever way you can, whether it is voting early in person, voting by mail, or voting with your absentee ballot and taking it to a place where you can drop it safely, get them in early so we can get them all counted on election night. And I'm thrilled that so many Minnesotans are taking advantage of the opportunity to vote early and to vote safely.
I'm once again tickled pink that you're there. I'm just happy about you being back in politics here. God willing, once again, there is no election that's guaranteed. 64 has been a reliable Democratic seat, but we still have to campaign. Nothing's won until election day. So I want everyone help out, volunteer, donate to help Aaron Murphy to get into the Minnesota Senate. And trust me, the Senate needs Aaron Murphy at this point. So we need to get rid of the current leadership, get Susan Kenton as the Senate Majority Leader, Aaron Murphy in there. Can I make a suggestion on any kind of healthcare issues? Please take the forefront on those. Aaron, if people want to get in touch with your campaign to volunteer or help out any way possible, how should they do that?
Well, they should send us an email at murphyfor64.com. You can reach us there. And I just want to put one more plug in for early voting. Okay. Once you've cast your ballot, it is really important that you talk to everybody in your circle and make sure that they're voting too. Turnout is the key to this election, like it is to every election. Donald Trump is president because so many Americans didn't vote last time. So let's all cast our ballots. Let's get everybody in our circles to vote. Let's win this election and get to the work of building our future.
And you said it exactly. You have to go on out there. And people that you don't know, if you don't know if they voted or not, if you don't know if they plan on voting, you have to talk to them and make sure they know the options. And, of course, Secretary of State's page, mnvotes.org, has all the information, no matter where you are in the state, on how to vote. But you said it. You just got to talk to people and tell people to get out to vote, because 110 million registered voters did not vote in 2016. We cannot have that happen again.
That's right.
Aaron Murphy, Representative Aaron Murphy.
Who's just known, call me Aaron.
Aaron. Okay. Aaron Murphy, Senate District 64, murphyfor64.com. That's murphyfor64.com. I'll link to everything a little bit later on. Aaron, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks a lot, Matt McNeil. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Aaron Murphy, Senate District 64, Democrat of the day. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.